Football on Off the Ball.
As I've mentioned before, it's only gave me a taste for more, whether that be with Ireland or with club football or whatever the case may be.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Optimum Nutrition, the official performance nutrition partners of the Gaelic Players Association and Leinster Rugby.
Delighted to welcome Alison Miller to the show. Alison, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Very well. We might start with what Declan's been talking about there. First of all, it kind of feels that his stock has risen a little bit over the past couple of days. Ireland's defence stock has risen a little bit as well. What's been your general feeling on that? Because that has been the one positive that a lot of people have been taking from Le Mans, the improved defensive performance, fewer missed tackles compared to last season, and overall just a better defensive showing, it seems.
Yeah, I suppose I'd probably like to go back to the year before, really, to compare, because I think last year was so poor.
Right.
You know, as in, like, it was obviously much improved from last year, but I think it's probably improved even from maybe the years before. So, yeah, it was really, really good improvement. I think the girls really fronted up, and to me, they look like they've put on some size. Because I would have said last year, watching them against other teams, they looked so small. It was nearly sometimes looking like girls versus women. So they physically fronted up, they got off their line, they showed an intent to defend. I think the double tackle was a real feature of the game. And they didn't overcommit at the breakdown. They, you know, they decided when their best opportunities were at the breakdown. And just, yeah, they forced France in, like, to make poor decisions. France really tried to force their offloads, which a lot of the time they're very good at doing, but I think they forced France into, you know, making poor decisions, and it came off well for us. And I think, yeah, 13 missed tackles. I don't know what the stats were last year, but that's very good against a French team. Now, a French team that I probably didn't go to, I suppose, their full capability, but at the same time, credit to Ireland for not letting them do that. And because I think when you're a new team, like, I hate using the word transition with this Irish team because it's been used since 2016. So, like, and I think this group are different. They just want to get better, and they're not going to be saying, you know, we're in transition or that. They just accept where they are and try to get better. But yeah, there's a real intent to defend, and you want to use their defense kind of as, I suppose, their core thing that they work on, and everything else comes around it. Because I think if you can defend well, and you especially got to defend well against those top teams, and I suppose in this Women's Six Nations, it's nearly two separate competitions. You have England and France in their little competition to seal a win, and then you've got the rest. So, yeah, very good display. I thought the defence was very good.
And being the best of the rest is so important with the World Cup place on the line as well. That thing that you're talking about there in terms of bulking up and putting on size just points to this path that Ireland are on, where there are a huge amount of big wins and potentially big gains to be made in a very short period of time, like reducing the missed tackle count, improving tackle technique, getting a bit bigger, putting on a bit more size. These are all things you'd imagine over the course of one or two seasons would have a humongous impact on how Ireland get on against a number of these nations.
Yeah, because I would have said, looking like you play, even maybe the likes of Wales as well, there's like big players, but our pack a lot of time in previous years was just, you know, dismantled, you know, a set piece, or we found it difficult to, you know, do a line of driving maul, where that was a real, I suppose, big improvement in the game. When we had a successful line out, we got our maul going and we made a lot of yards, which we wouldn't have seen in other years. And it's just, you know, like, say England and France, the power of their pack. But like, there was no time on Saturday that I thought we were really outmuscled. There was times, but, you know, compared to other times, we fronted up because we've got a good back line, you know, mobile back line. And it's like, if you don't have that, you can't front up in the forwards and have a good platform, we can't really attack. Now, look, we didn't see a huge progression in attack. I think that would be to come. And I think we'll see more, obviously, we're going to see more opportunities to attack against a team that's more at our level this weekend.
Yeah, can you talk us a little bit through that? What is the attacking shape that you want to see from this Ireland team? Because, as you mentioned there, it's kind of two different Six Nations. You'd expect a completely different game this Sunday. So I presume this is really the first game that we can actually assess what Ireland want to do attacking wise.
Yeah, I suppose we can't tell a whole lot from the French game about what they were trying to do, because we probably against France, I thought we kicked the ball away a lot. So
yeah.
And it was always from 10. So I think especially their back three had a countered and covered very well, because we didn't have any kicks off 9. We didn't have any kicks off 15. So they would see Nicole Fowling and you know, anticipate the kick. So they'd be in position. So I'm not sure, but I think we've got big attacking threats there in the likes of, you know, Eve Higgins, Bavin Parsons, Aoife Dalton at 12 was a big carrier. So I'm not sure. I think we'll see. We'll have to see the game at the weekend to see when, you know, when we get opportunities to attack and when we have. I don't think we'll be kicking the ball away as much, I hope, because I think there was times against France where we had, you know, opportunities to attack. There was a time, oh, I'm not sure what time of the game, but it was, I think it was a 5-on-3 and Bavin Parsons was on the left wing and we kicked it where if we'd moved the ball to her, we would have made ground. Look, especially in a game like that against France, they're so good, your attacking opportunity is going to be limited. So not sure, but I think we'll know more at the weekend. Look, you're playing Italy, who are quite an experienced team. And I think they'll play a similar style to France. They're probably not as physical, but like they've huge experience in the ranks. Like you look at some of the players, 71 caps, 47, 83. We probably all around probably have a higher international cap total than Ireland. And they have two injuries from the weekend. You obviously saw Sarah Beckett got red carded for her role against Michaela Solari, who is one of Italy's most dangerous players at 13, but also one of the most experienced. So she's gone. Giulia Cavina at 8 has gone. Now, she's not as experienced in 5 caps, but you see, yes, I suppose you see the kind of the attrition having to play England and missing 2 players, one highly experienced player in the midfield. So they came second in the WXV in at November. They actually finished with the same points as Scotland, but went down to points difference. So they'll be confident too. Also, we can't tell a whole lot from the game against England, 48-0. And even with 13 players, England managed to score a try out wide towards the end. So just shows their quality. But I think their defence will be good. It took England 30 minutes to actually register a score. Like, that's huge. It's a huge defensive effort from Italy. But like, I suppose, these teams, once they do kind of get ahead, you know, it's keeping them nil for a while, but then they kind of gain momentum. So I think it'll be a close game. I think it's a game that Ireland will put in their sights and, you know, are definitely good enough to win. Obviously, last year was so demoralising for a lot of the players, but I think they've moved on from that now and they're looking forward to getting into this game. And we hopefully will see the likes more attack and getting the ball to the edges a little bit more than we had seen. And you have players there with good attacking threats. We want to see them getting their ball into their hands.
Alison, that defensive bit is one that a lot of people have honed in on as evidence of the whole project having moved on significantly from last year. I know Aoife Dalton was talking after the game saying that Declan Danaher is making them love defending now. You mentioned the number of tackles, missed tackles against France. I think last year was 43 versus, I think, 17 this year. And people are taking that as obviously a significant step forward. I just wondered, so there's that love of tackling that Aoife Dalton is talking about, right? Like that desire to get yourself in a position and get the tackle made versus the structure. One game is very hard to give too deep an answer on this, but from what you've seen at the weekend, what sort of new shapes are you seeing defensively? Is it more the desire bit or the skill bit, or what are you seeing on that side?
Just generally, like, you see more connection on the line, more organisation, intent to get off the line. The double hit was a big feature of the defensive hit. And I suppose when you have a double hit, you're going to put more force through that tackle. I think we would have seen last year a lot of probably people trying to go for turnovers when they're, you know, you're short on the line a lot when you're coming in, especially besides what side, depends what time side you're coming in from. But I think we probably would have seen more individual decisions around breakdowns and stuff last year where they didn't overcommit at the ruck. And look, there's loads of defensive structures out there. Some teams like to go really hard at breakdowns to try and slow it down. But I think a team like this, they were biding their time and they were just fanning out and they were getting up. It was quite simple. It wasn't anything really complicated. It was just, you know, getting off the line, stay connected, double hits, not committing, overcommitting at the breakdown. And then when obvious opportunities were on, they were, you know, turning the ball over the ruck. I didn't see, like, when I looked back, I didn't see, they weren't putting massive pressure on the breakdown. They weren't. But then again, there was times when they did counter up because it was obviously on. So I think it was just smart decision they're making and then a bit of hunger. But, you know, just good connectivity, good integrity in the line, getting up off the line, the intent to hit someone and the intent to actually make contact and that hunger. Because defence, it's so much in your head. Like, it's so much over the years of playing. It's so much you wanting to do it and enjoying it because, like, you have to be able to defend in a game. And I think when you have, if you have a few weak links that can't defend, it's just highlighting the team. So I think there was good collectivity and fluidness around decision making. And like, there was obviously one big mistake for the Marie Menage try. But, you know, I think a young player won't do it again. So I think their systems were just, as I said, it was nothing too elaborate or fancy. It was just, you know, good connectivity and decision making and biding their time as opposed to more individual kind of defending last year and individual decision making around ruck time and stuff like that.
What do you expect to see with regards to getting Bevan Parsons more involved in the game?
You see, it's a good question because I was actually talking about this the other day. She made a name for herself very young. So, and that happens when you make a name for yourself, you are become essentially a marked player. So, you know, especially France, and those French wingers were quite quick too. So, like, you know, and there is, Bevan is in very good company in this women's Six Nations in terms of wingers. There's some very good wingers out there. So, there was, obviously, when she was younger, the unknown, who is she? So now she's, you know, rightly so, her quality and what she's done, she's made a name for herself. So they're going to be on her. I'm not sure, like, you know, I would like to see her coming off her wing because I think she'd get a lot of opportunities there because defences can be ready for her on the wing and we go, right, we can anticipate she's getting the ball on the left wing. But what they can't anticipate for her is, you know, her maybe coming off her wing, running ghost lines off 9 or 10 or getting the ball, running out of front five forward. But saying that, that could be to do with the place that this team are at. You know, maybe you have to have a license to do that and you have to have people encouraging you to do that. So maybe it's just the case that we won't see that yet until they're really, you know, their defence is down because getting off your wing is great, but I suppose maybe the worry is then turnover ball, you know, players are out of position. So maybe that's a reason. But hopefully I'll see. I think they need to, you got to sometimes be imaginative too when you have a player like that, like literally construct ways to get her and other, you know, attacking players into the game if the ball isn't coming her way or she's been defended really well out in the wing. So opportunities like that, like not on the wing, and you know, there is ways to do that. I think hopefully we'll see. And the thing is, if the ball comes her way on the wing and she gets loads of ball, we'd also like to see her offering getting double the amount of ball, like, because I think the mentality of a winger is when you start making meters, start beating people, start stepping people, your mentality changes. It kind of, like, you know, you winger, you kind of be a bit, what's the word? A bit of flamboyant. It kind of, it helps in a winger's mindset. So you see if we get her the ball and she makes yards and then the confidence grows. And I think that's really important for all our wingers, whoever they may be. She's obviously the most experienced winger out there. The rest of the squad in terms of wingers would be quite young and inexperienced. So she's probably the main experienced winger out there. So an interesting one. Look, hopefully we won't see the ball being kicked away as much. And I think the genuine, I suppose that'll be part of their learnings to look. They obviously had a game plan against France to kick, but it's actually then realising when maybe you're kicking away an opportunity that, you know, you might not be presented, especially when someone like that is so well marked and, you know, but yeah, you know, she kind of was living off scraps against France as opposed to genuine making her, giving her opportunities.
Definitely. So it's the RDS this Sunday, 3 o'clock, Ireland versus Italy. How's it going to go, Alison?
Yeah, I think Ireland, I think it'll be close because I think Italy are a good team and they are experienced. But I think, you know, at home game, like, we have some very good players there. And I suppose we have the difference that we have people like Eve and Bave and Avian Riley back from the sevens. And I think the difference maybe was that these are very experienced 15s players. Even though they play sevens, they've grown up playing 15s, so they're know-how of the 15s game. They come in and just seamlessly, you know, they can integrate into the team because they know the 15s game really well. So I think a win for Ireland, but I think it'll be close. I think if they get things right and a little bit of luck as well, just to get this team going.
We're talking about everything with such positivity right after a defeat, and I know that the players weren't quite doing that afterwards, but how important is it that the project, I'll keep calling it until I come up with a better word, keeps moving forward, Alison, in the sense of like a setback this weekend could feel like puncturing an awful lot of that positivity?
Yeah, like it's a fine line, isn't it, between false positivity and like last year at times I just felt it was false positivity, yeah. You know, players coming out and saying, well, really, you just got to say, God, that wasn't good and we just have to get much better. Like, but I don't think this team are like that. I just feel a different sense. I sense the coaches are, you know, they're realists. They, you know, we got to get better. So I think as long as we're seeing an improvement, I think like I struggle with like false positivity. I struggle with sometimes going with a positivity brigade when, you know, in any sport, there shouldn't be it. Like, you know, and it doesn't really get you anywhere. Sometimes when everyone, the media and everyone are getting really like false positivity behind something, and sometimes it's actually the truth that pushes you on. So look, I think, and you have to like, and the thing is as well, you still got to measure regardless of whether you win or lose. Like there'll be games you lose, but you've played well and you've actually played very well and you've improved your things and you've had positive playing. There's games where you lose and you've played absolutely terrible. So I think regardless of the result, I think, you know, the team will be able to measure their progress and they'll have their key performance indicators and all those things to, like, you know, possession and missed tackles or whatever it is, to see have they improved. And I feel like this team are, you know, realists. They'll know when they're improving without kind of giving the media, oh, you know, like false positivity. Because so I think, look, if it's a close game and whatever side they come out of, I think you see progress and you see, look, you're in the game. Where last year we were so out, we were never in any game. So like you couldn't really say anything was positive because you were out of the game, you're getting hammered. But you know, if you're, what's the word I'm looking for? It's 2 hours in the morning. If you're competitive in the game and you're there and, you know, it's tit for tat, you come off the other side, well, look, then you can be positive, I think, can't you? Like, I think.
Yeah.
And that's part of it too, you know?
Absolutely. Well, hopefully it's real positivity and the sort of paranoia that we have around how hopeful we are after last Saturday tends to fade away over the next couple of games.
I'm going to say Ireland are going to win. So.
Brilliant. Well, Alison, great chatting to you as ever. Thanks a million for taking
the call.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Off the ball, breakfast.
With Optimum Nutrition, there's more of you in you. Unlock it with the world's number one sports nutrition brand.